Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on March 16th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps, and of course with us, because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Good morning.
I can only speak for myself. I'm doing great.
How could you be doing great, Mark?
Hey, because it could have been worse. And for your listeners, what we're talking about is I was driving here on Blanche, and one of those trucks, you know, with the long low boy in the back, he was backing the trailer out onto Blanche. And I thought, oh, sure, he sees me. Surely he's going to stop. And I'm driving, and he keeps going. I go, whoa, he is not. He's still backing. And he's like 5 feet out into Blanche now, and I swerve around. It caught the very back fender, back quarter panel, and just scraped along. But let me tell you, if I hadn't swerved, if he had been going just a little faster, should I have swerved more? Yeah, it was okay.
Mark, holy mackerel,
it could have been kabang. So,
Mark, you should never, ever, ever assume they see you or assume they're going to stop. Never.
Right. But, I mean, I thought he was. In fact, I thought he had stopped, and then he just, oh my gosh, he's still going. He's going to keep going, you know. And he said he looked. So I think he did stop.
Yeah.
He looked. I thought he was stopping, and then he started. He said he didn't see me. And so I, you know. Anyway.
Okay. Well,
it was the
I'm
quickest.
Glad you're okay.
Take a picture of his license, take a picture of the truck, take a picture of the dent, take a picture, you know, everything. So the registration, all of that. And then I said, got to go. See ya. Sorry about that, bud. And moving on.
Well, yeah. I'm glad you're okay. And your car is a little the worse for wear, but that's okay, right?
Hey, it's paid off. It's an old,
that's
you know,
okay.
The kid's going to get it soon. And so, you know, what the heck? I may just pocket the money. Give him the dent. What the heck, you know?
All right. What a great
weekend
coming up.
Yes, well, is everybody ready for storm number three?
Now, okay, I have, all right. Here's the thing about the L.A. weather forecasters. Yesterday, I'm on the treadmill. It's like, I don't know, what early morning, right? And I'm listening to the weather forecast, and they're saying, okay, the storm's going to hit. It's cloudy skies and stuff like that. I go, wait, what? What are you talking? It already hit. There are no cloudy skies. It's blue now. It already hit. You guys need to catch up. You know, and it was, I'm going, holy cow. So now I'm wondering, okay, when are they saying the storm is going to be here?
Well, this third one in the series that we've had all week.
Right.
It's supposed to hit this afternoon into the evening. And at last weekend, they were saying that this is going to be the big, powerful one. But I was watching Vera on Channel 5 two nights ago, and she said,
Vera
it doesn't look like it's they said it's not. It doesn't look like it's going to be as powerful as they were hoping. But it's supposed to roll in this afternoon. Hopefully, I have my rain boots and my raincoat out, ready to go. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I know that with this last storm, they told the folks in Santa Barbara to evacuate again, I think.
If Vera
is saying that, I believe it. Okay, she's the only one. So.
Yeah. She's the only one.
If you don't know, even though she's not a chamber member, she owns the fish shop. Is it fish?
Fish shop? In Hermosa.
Yeah. Hermosa Beach,
which is fantastic. And she's very community involved. I love it that she gets out there and does stuff, and it's great.
Speaking of, did any of you get to the Mix-a-Go-Go event? This past Wednesday night?
No, I had another commitment. Was it crazy?
I didn't get to go either. I had a commitment, so I was just wondering if anybody went, because I saw some pictures yesterday on social media, and it looked like a ton of fun. I went last year, and it was a ton of fun. So
Where did they do it this year? I went last year.
They do it at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center.
Right. Okay, so same
it's
as
great,
last year.
Great Got venue. Venue, and you know, everybody was there except us, of course.
Right.
I was just wondering if anybody.
I should have gone.
I would have loved to, but I was busy.
Exactly. We have so many things going on. It seems like, you know, it's interesting. There are so many people that are looking for things, you know, that have events going on, and looking for silent auction items, looking for donations, looking for help and all that. I mean, holy cow. We're trying to help them here at the chamber. They come, like yesterday I spent a bit of time with the Ridgestone folks about the Ridgestone Walk coming up April 28th and talking to them and strategizing with what they maybe should consider and stuff like that. And we had a great conversation, but you know, they're just one of many out there who have got events coming up, Leadership Manhattan, and that's just Manhattan Beach, not let alone all the other beach cities. So
there is a lot. You know, it's so funny. Joe and I have talked. We've been talking for years about doing like a fifth anniversary party or something. You know, for my website and show. And but you know, something as you said, there's so much going on. And I think people get a little fatigued, you know. So we stepped back and said, no, we don't need to do that right now. So maybe 10 years, maybe the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Mark,
What do you give for the 10-year anniversary, Joe? What do you
off
give,
the
Jackie?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. There's a list. We can look it up.
So, Joe,
well,
you need to look that up. Find out what you're supposed to give Jackie after 10 years.
I wanted to ask you, Mark, do you have anything you want to bring up before we get to our top today's
show?
Well,
we have Marie's. Well, we'll talk about that. But our big event coming up is the Economic Forum. And we just added Kathleen Terry to speak about networking and how to network properly. So we've added that little component to it. So I'm excited about that. It's going to be a really great informational yet engaging fun 3 hours at the Joslyn Center, and includes includes a lunch, and hopefully our guest will be compliments of our guests. So we'll see.
Nice. I have a question for you. Is West Drift open yet?
Yes, it's been open.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been open all the time through the construction, just some of the rooms, some of the areas closed off. You have to go, you know, you wake up to jackhammering and things like that. But the West Drift now is absolutely, they had a wedding there the other day, and they absolutely they're open. Are they completely finished? No. But their soft opening was supposed to be February 28th. It's now been moved to, I think, to sometime in April. They don't have a date yet, but It's going to be sometime in April.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Our
in fact,
man
next
Manhattan.
Week,
so it turns out.
Next week, we're going to have our board meeting over at the West Drift and get a little in. And all our, I've taken a tour a couple of times, but they're going to give our board members a tour of the facility.
The reason I ask is because you've always held the economic forum at what was the Manhattan Beach Marriott. Now it's West Drift, and I was just curious if the construction was one of the reasons you moved it. So, yeah.
Well, we just didn't know what was going to be there.
Going on.
And we're not going as big as we did with the Business Leaders Summit, you know, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we've scaled it back, but hopefully just as we're going to jam-pack, you know, 10 pounds of information into a 5-pound bag. It's just a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. I'm excited about it, but I'm worried that, holy cow, can I get everybody out by, you know, one-ish? So
you'll have to.
But that's the plan. Yep, I'll have to because it's at the Jocelyn. Those seniors will need that for yoga or something.
Yeah. That's a very busy place, that Jocelyn Center.
Oh, my gosh.
Very, very, very busy place, yeah.
Oh, you go in there and they even put on plays. They're in there rehearsing, these seniors. I mean, that is the most active. Those guys, wow, I didn't know. They probably feel like they're busier now than when they were working.
Well, no, you know, what you probably walked in on is the South Bay Story Show. I think that's where they do the, I think it, like the third Thursday every month, it's a storytelling group.
Oh,
and
maybe that's it, because they literally were rehearsing.
Yeah, they put on a show, like a real show at a real venue. Yeah, so that's probably what you walked in on. I just got the information for that event. But anyway, Joe. Today one of our favorite, if not our favoriteest topics.
Food.
Yes.
You know.
Oh.
Food.
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 Glorious food.
There is nothing better. And. It's
or
food
worse. Or worse,
with
depending
French
how you
names
look at it.
In it.
Yeah.
No, and it's food with French names in it, which I love.
Yeah, but it's so funny. And Mark, I don't know if you've done a show with us yet where we've just talked about food, and then by the time the show is over, we're all starving. We're, you know, everybody needs to run out and get something to eat. And I just have a feeling this is going to be one of those shows. So.
Oh, yeah.
I think so. So, Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Marie and Jamie Ravel, and if I'm not pronouncing that right, we will get it right as soon as they come on, founders of Black Flower Crepes. Now, Marie and Jamie moved to Los Angeles from Paris 2 years ago, seeking to continue their adventure in the restaurant business in what they felt was the most exciting culinary environment in the world. They spent months looking for the perfect spot to open Black Flower as a brick-and-mortar restaurant, traversing L.A. with their real estate agent, visiting available shops and neighborhoods from Venice Beach to Culver City, from Silver Lake to downtown L.A. Now, they started to throw around the idea of building their business out of a food truck that could change locations and establish the Black Flower name throughout the sprawling jumble that makes up Los Angeles. While Marie discovered a new city, Jamie rediscovered an ever-changing landscape so diverse, vital, and dynamic that they came to the conclusion that choosing a single location would be inconceivable. Prior to Black Flower, Marie and Jamie founded Pink Flamingo Pizza, a gourmet pizza concept with 6 locations throughout Europe. After the success of Pink Flamingo, Jamie and Marie decided to introduce Parisians to real American-style barbecue, and Floyd's Bar and Grill was born. Now, before becoming a leader of the French foodie revolution in the mid-2000s, Marie was a successful actress both on the screen and in the great Parisian theaters. Jamie always knew that he wanted to cook, from the high-end Lac Ober in Boston to Jerry's and Café Luxembourg in Manhattan, in addition to a few Mexican joints in California. Black Flower's goal is simple: deliver a product on par with the best crepes Brittany has to offer while taking advantage of the bounty of Southern California's farm-fresh produce and diversity. The menu plays homage to their favorite neighborhoods and inhabitants that make them unique, and this morning we're going to learn all about it. Marie, Jamie, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Good morning.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
We like to call Marie bonjour, just bonjour. Because we want to listen to her talk.
Yes.
And say the word crepe. Can you say the word crepe, Marie?
Yes, so you say de crepe.
Crepe.
De crepe.
Some crepes.
De crepe.
And so also because the savory crepes in Brittany made with buckwheat flour, we call them actually galette.
I knew that. Yes. I knew that.
You knew?
Yes. I knew that.
I always wondered.
I can't know. I can't say it, but I knew it.
Galette de Saracen.
And how do you pronounce your last name, Marie? How do you pronounce your last name?
So, you know, Marie Ravel. It's like the musician who did Le Bolero, de Ravel, that I'm not going to sing because I'm a terrible singer. And what's funny is that actually I'm married with my American husband. His name is Jamie Young, but I love to use my name Ravel. So you just say Marie and Jamie Ravel, who makes me laugh a lot of. Why?
I like it.
That's the secret to a good marriage is keep them laughing.
That brings us to...
I've been doing it wrong.
Mr. Ravel.
Who?
Who?
No.
Who was that? No.
He's
Jamie.
That
Young.
Used to be our running joke in France. Whenever Mary would make a reservation at a restaurant, she would do it under Ravel. And I would walk up to the hostess desk and they would say, "Hi, Mr. Ravel." And I would say, "Okay, it's Young." But she said... The French can't, and you notice when Marie said my name, they can't pronounce the word Young without making it sound some like it's got too many syllables. So Ravel is easier. So
well,
Ravel.
It's a common French name, so it's good. What?
I tell you what, Jamie, it's better than Mr. South Bay by Jackie, which unfortunately my husband gets all the time. Ravel it is. Yes.
So let's start with you, Jamie. When we talk about the American food truck revolution, is there anything comparable in Europe? Do they have any concept? Because I mean, the car culture is an American invention. The car culture is an American invention, but is there anything like the food truck culture in Europe?
There is. It's funny. I designed a menu in Paris with a friend of mine to do the first Parisian taco restaurant, and one of the cooks was a girl from California, from Northern California, and she worked there for about a year. And ended up doing the first food truck in Paris. This is about, I think it was about four or five years ago, which is called the Camion qui Fume. It was burgers. There was a whole revolution about 4 or 5 years ago in Paris, especially where Paris decided that it was going to become Brooklyn. And anything American, anything hipster, anything to do with third wave coffee, with gourmet burgers, all that kind of stuff just took off. And she did the first truck. And it was a huge, huge, huge success and ended up getting bought by a group and et cetera. So it's starting. It's complicated here to do a truck as far as the permits and health department and all that. It's 10 times more complicated in Paris because they have no...
Really? Yeah,
because the French they've had the rules, the laws, and all that have been in place since the days of the kings, and they just still follow the same rules. Mm-hmm. And if you go through the book for food truck rules, there's none. So they had to make them up on the fly, and that's not. It was a process to get it all done, and they're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's starting. Anything that's happening here is happening pretty quick over there. If it works, it's happening pretty quick over there. In Europe,
and vice versa, probably whatever's happening very quick and over there is being brought over here. I mean, that's been happening
for
years.
Yeah,
that's
been happening forever. Yeah, it just happens a lot quicker now. There's a much more fluid exchange of ideas and that kind of stuff now with the internet.
We actually make movies when we outperform the French. wines. Remember the movie about the wine? How the California wines came into play?
Yes, sideways.
I'm not going to touch that. Sideway might be a French person out there listening, and I don't want to have to
Yeah.
Well, I just have to say, I know that I always heard that Brooklyn was the new Manhattan, but apparently now it's the new Paris. That's good to know. I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Coming from a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Right. It's going quick.
Well, you know what? I have always thought, when I have traveled overseas, I've always thought, wow, if someone put a barbecue place here, an American barbecue place here, that would be a home run, I bet you. Because just like we want to go to a French bistro, we want to go to a Mexican restaurant, or we want to go to a Greek or whatever, you would think over there they might want to go to a barbecue place or, you know,
sure.
something like that. Yeah. So
they yeah. When you give – and, again, it's the whole new foodie environment where everything has to be, and rightfully so, authentic and done right. There's been barbecue places in Paris for years, but they weren't up to snap. Now, if you open a barbecue place in Paris today, it better be as good as the barbecue you can get in America.
Right.
At least in Brooklyn.
I would definitely hire people there who were barbecue. I mean, I would go to the South and get people who spoke Southern, you know, really trick it out from
Memphis,
back of the house
Memphis
all the way
barbecue.
To the front.
Yeah,
right.
Memphis barbecue or even Chicago barbecue.
Right. Chicago ribs.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. It's starting already. My stomach is making noise.
So, Jamie and Marie, okay, and I've been meaning to ask Marie this, what is black flour?
You mean why we call it black flour?
Yeah,
right.
So I mean, is that a flour?
France,
is that a...
Yes, it's a buckwheat flour, which is actually, you know, naturally gluten-free since always, you know, before eating gluten-free was even an option.
Right.
The galette, so the crepes made with buckwheat flour, in Brittany, we used to call it the black wheat because the color is more like the color dark beige, you know, brown.
Right.
Very dark. Mm. So we used to call it the crepes with the black wheat.
So if someone...
Except the blé noir.
And I should probably tell my wife because my wife's a chef and... If she would know what I could say to her, black flour, and she would know what. So a culinary foodie is going to know what black flour is.
They know that the buckwheat is a dark. It's actually not a wheat. It's actually a flour. That's the other wordplay that goes into it. It's not actually a grain. It's a flour that's then turned into a flour, whatever. That we're doing.
Yeah,
we use the buckwheat also in the food for the soba noodle, you know?
Soba noodles.
Soba noodles.
Right.
I mean, not but that's also buckwheat, to give you an idea.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we all grew up eating buckwheat pancakes and, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a urban farmer, and we sell microgreens, but we sell amaranth, red garnet amaranth. Microgreens, but of course, a lot of our Mexican, South American customers will remind me that amaranth is used as a food in South America and in southern Mexico. They grow it to maturity, and then they take the seeds and grind the seeds of the amaranth plant into flour and use it to make breads and pastas and tortillas and whatever. But of course, it's not a grain. It's more of a brassica that they grind the seeds into flour. And they're red, orange, green, very colorful kinds of flour.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you do sprouted grains at your urban farm?
No, we specialize in microgreens, so we cut the, you know, it's the stem, the leaves, and up.
Okay.
We you know, there's others that do sprouted grains and sprouted seeds, but we do the actual, just the cut.
The green, okay.
You know, whatever the sprout it looks like. And this is the thing. I think a lot of people are looking for these categories of these new foods. But tell us more about the menu. Tell us about the whole menu. So you've got the black flour crepes. What else? What goes in the crepes?
So first of all, we have two batter. We have a black flour, the buckwheat flour for all the savory crepes.
Yeah.
And we use a different. Yeah. We use the regular flour for the sweet crepes because that's what we do usually in the real creperie in France. And every time we went to try some crepe place, we had a hard time finding the difference. You know, like, I want to have my savory crepe with a buckwheat, and I want to have my sweet crepe with the unbleached flour, because that's the way it's supposed to happen, you know. So we have, when you come to black flour, you're going to have taste the two type of flour if you take entry and dessert.
And the we're doing kind of the, for the ingredients that go into the savory crepes, it's kind of a little mix of classic French, where the classic French galette is with Gruyere cheese, ham, which is the jambon de Paris, which is their classic ham there, and then an egg, which is just served at any time of the day. You can have it for breakfast, lunch, dinner, a little bit of salad, and that's just the classic, really classic as you can get. I'm also doing kind of takes on the American breakfast, where there's one with scrambled eggs, sautéed peppers and onions, and a little diced ham with the cheddar cheese, with a little homage to the Denver omelet. There's one with melted brie and roasted grapes with pine nuts.
Okay, there I'm done.
Oh my God, I'm done. That just sounds unbelievable. Oh boy.
Okay,
I'm sitting here fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, wait.
I'm sending Michelle out to La Pond right now.
No, guys. Joe, I don't know if you had a chance to look at the website, but Jamie, tell us about, because I referred to it in the intro about what influenced you in the different neighborhoods and the people. But the menu, I love the names you gave to your crepes. Tell us a little bit about that.
So yeah, we did when that, it was a lot of fun. I lived in LA in the 80s and hadn't been back for a long time. When we moved back, we spent like 6 months taking a sabbatical and just introducing our kids and Marie to the region, and spent a lot of time just zooming around, going to Venice and Los Feliz and Malibu and et cetera, visiting all the neighborhoods. And we got a few favorites, and when we started looking for our brick and mortar location, we started going to these places, and they were kind of the, you know, places that we could get a grasp on as far as kind of comparing to Paris and our experience. So the names of our crepes are kind of, because of the food truck idea, was the idea that we could go anywhere. We kind of picked our favorite neighborhoods and named the crepes after people that are kind of the symbols of those neighborhoods. So
yes,
an example is the elaborately tattooed yoga girl from Atwater Village.
The name I know her.
You know, everybody knows her.
Yeah, you know her. Mark knows
her. The idea is that when you come up to order a crepe, you find yourself on the menu. Because every we have a friend of ours who thinks the crepe, the hiking actress from Beechwood Canyon, she's pretty sure it's named after her, even though it's not.
Hog in a sheet.
Hog in a sheet is the only one not named after an actual person.
Right.
That's the
wonderful.
That's the it's a little homage to the pigs in the blanket with the crepe being a sheet, and the hog being the bratwurst.
That's the one I can't really pronounce because I've got a hard time making the difference.
She says that one should be. You'll have to bleep her out at the when she says sheet. If you get my drift.
Yeah. So Jamie, it sounds. Are you a chef?
Yes.
Did
yes.
I already know that? Did I may have already known that. Man, I found out so much stuff. You've got to send me this stuff so we can put it on my newsletter, because it's exciting to have the background of our members on our, you know, like I know some people, there's a lady who is an executive at Connecta, and she is a trained singer, opera singer. She's got, or not opera, but singer, and she has songs on Spotify. I want to know that stuff. And the fact that Marie is an actor in France, I mean, that's exciting. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been engaging. Do you have a crypt that's called the Marie?
No, but she there's one. There's surely one on the list that she thinks is her.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's a hiking actress. I don't.
No.
Oh, you mean the skinny French? What?
No, the skinny French Where? Guy from Los Feliz is not. That's not her. No.
No. So, I want to get back to your original concept of a brick and mortar location, did that driving around the various neighborhoods, and from your menu, you can tell how different, how unique each of these neighborhoods are. You know, you got your Malibu Groms, and as you said, your tattoo yoga instructor from Atwater, and the neighborhoods are so different. Was it during that time that you thought, wait a minute, because I, you know, reading that, I just think it's a great marketing idea. Start with the food truck,
yeah,
and get brand recognition.
Right.
And I mean, you could say, hey, this is so great, you could start a fleet of, you know, trucks, or you could go back to your original idea with the brick and mortar location. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, exactly. That's the there's two things that came into play with that. The first one, without going into detail, is that it's name recognition is something that we thought our experience in Paris would help us a little bit in LA, because we had some success in Paris. And we found out pretty quick that it didn't mean a whole lot to landlords and whatnot. So the food truck idea came pretty quick, and we kind of hesitated because it's frankly a business we don't know. We were learning now as we go how to run a food truck, because it's not at all the same as a restaurant. There's all kinds of logistics and marketing and stuff like that we are learning as we go. There's no other way to do it. There's not a real guidebook on how to run a food truck. So we hesitated, and finally just, it was kind of at the you know, we saw we kind of modeling our idea after the obviously the successful food trucks that have already come before us, with Koji Barbecue and Egg Slot and these kind of trucks, where they did exactly what you would just talk about, which is kind of establishing the name with the truck and then moving to a little fleet and then moving to brick and mortar. So that's that's absolutely the plan. And
Jamie, has the food truck industry become tougher and tougher with regulations, permits, and all of that?
It just seems like
you know, my wife, we have a catering kitchen, and you know, I always, every now and then, and then I go sit in the dark corner until the thought goes away. But you know, talk about a restaurant or a but I've thought about food trucks. She never thinks about food trucks. She just likes her catering kitchen and doing that. And which you guys are the hardest working people I know. Anybody in the food industry, hardest by far of anybody I know. It's unbelievable.
Absolute
my wife, powers. I call myself a caterer's widow, because basically I just don't see her hardly at all, you know.
Right.
And I'm trying, like I tell people, I'm trying to get people to have their parties on a Wednesday, because the weekends, you know, come on, give me one night, you know. So, but is it? Are they making it more difficult now?
I think so. I mean, we weren't here 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when it started. But I have a feeling. Yeah, it's inevitable. I think there was the Wild Wild West, and they've tightened the screws because I mean, there's good side and the bad side to that, because the fact is, if we there's some still locations in Santa Monica, et cetera, where you can go and get there early, park, and you have a crowd that comes in, like in the old days where, I mean,
right.
the old days,
Abbot Kinney,
you know,
Abbot Kinney used to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they allowed, I think there's 1,000 trucks or something like that. If they allowed everybody to just run around and park wherever they wanted, it would just be crazy.
Manhattan Beach, we set up rules for that because we, you know, there would be a pizza food or the classic story was the ice cream food truck that would pull down in front of the creamery, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And it would take up 2 parking spots, and then it would they would just pay the parking tickets as a cost of doing business. And
right.
So city council got involved, and so now, you know, downtown is off limits, but you know, we bring them into ball games and fields and events and all of that. So
sure.
Yeah.
There's the Thursday food truck roundup at Redondo Performing Arts Center.
Right.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
They do that on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you got to remember also, once the powers that be realize there's a revenue stream to be had from these things, they're all over it, you know. So, you know.
So how does that? You know,
permits, regulations, permits. You want to do business
right.
here, you got to get a license.
So. But how does that work with all like the roundup over at Redondo Beach Performing Arts, that big parking lot out there? Do you guys is it just open for all food trucks, or do you have to get your name in?
No. It's through Enriched Farms. It's on my website.
Yeah.
And you can go to the website, and they'll tell you what days trucks are going to be there. Yeah, you gotta sign up.
A lot of different people that runs all those lots in Los Angeles,
mm-hmm.
South Bay, and every time you have to submit yourself, and they ask you, of course, your health permit, and they ask picture of a truck, which is great for us because our truck looks very cool, and they ask for your menu.
Yeah.
They want to see the price, and they ask also for. Believe it or not, they ask for your social media. They want to go check if you have a little fame already.
Okay.
On Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Now,
and
you know,
so,
we have all kinds of events for you guys. So please keep your summer wide open. The I know it's going to be hard to do, but do these like at the Performing Arts Center, and I'm just using that example. Do they take a commission off of what you make off sales, or do they charge you a fee? How does that work?
Yeah, so it depends. There's some fee for some lots that can be, you know, less or more or less. For example, we're gonna go with lunch in downtown at the Pershing Square, and we're only paying $15. But if you go to the LACMA, which we're gonna go next week, it's $85 in front of the LACMA. So
$5.
$85.
Okay. I think I heard a few years ago where the food truck pulls up and they have to make, before they will give any money to the venue, they have to make $1,500 or something like that. In other words, they have to make their amount before, and that's the way they operate. I think that was the Raging Cajun.
Yeah. It depends on the location, the lots, and also if it's an event, like, let's say, a festival like Coachella, you know?
Are you guys going to Coachella?
20%.
Coachella.
Oh, we would love, but now it's too late because we just had a truck recently. Next year.
Well, I'm
going to
take my escape pod. I'm taking my van to Coachella. You can just come with me and we'll make stuff out of the van.
There you go.
Yeah.
We're just looking into this. There's a triathlon happening in Northern California called Wild County Triathletes.
Yeah.
And that looks like it's called the Woodstock of triathlons, and we just submitted for that because it's a 3-day event and with thousands of people all wanting to eat healthy food. So
now how old are your kids?
Our kids are 7, 12, and 15.
Oh, so will they go with you?
If there's no school, of course. It's in May.
Oh, shoot. Pull them out of school. That's so much more fun and educational than school.
Mark,
I'm a big believer, especially the seven-year-old. You know what? I have no problem with seven-year-olds going off with their parents to somewhere. The education there is going to be much better than what they're getting at public.
You're right.
So right.
No, but as a matter of fact, we have a big organization for the beginning of a food truck, and there's Jamie's mother coming for a month at our home, then my mother coming for 2 months,
wow.
And Jamie's aunt coming for 10 days. So it's really like we have a pretty good organization of people showing up and helping us for now.
Plus, do you look at those three-day trips like to Wildflower? Do you look at those three-day trips as a time for you and Jamie to get away too, just to sort of, even though you're working, but you get away too? Yeah.
And have to, and like, discover. That's the cool thing about the food truck is that we get to, I mean, every day is somewhere new. And we'd never go to Central California to a triathlon, but with this we can, and kind of see a new group of people and
you
different environments.
You guys are
really
so
fun.
Enjoying life. I mean, that is such a great that you have made life fit your passion and your world versus letting the world dictate our life. You know,
exactly.
Like the chamber's doing to me. The chamber's doing that to me.
So I'd like to ask,
wait.
Jamie,
I'm
so many people. I want to ask about the profitability of the business.
Wait! I want to ask about. Okay. I got to ask something. You know, I'm a linear thinker. You know, my mind automatically went to logistics. So, Jamie, what are the logistics of going up north with your truck? Do you drive the truck, and Marie has the kids in the car? How does that work?
Yeah,
the kids
question.
Are back with mom,
with
grandma.
We'll cross that. Exactly. They leave the kids with grandma and get in the truck and go. There's two seats in the truck, and we will be giving it, if we're selected, we will definitely be giving it a tune-up before we leave, because that's a recurring nightmare I have, the truck instead of a restaurant, is that we'll be on our way to a high-paying gig and break down on the side of the road.
Well, that's what my van, I worry about that. I just bought this old vintage VW van, because that, you know, midlife crisis for me, that's what I get. I don't buy the Porsche or anything like that. I want this getaway. I call it my escape pod. I take the dogs, you know, we go. And I just started this. So, but I have that fear. That's my fear. So I have a battery charger in there that I can jumpstart my battery, not have to have a car come up to me. You know, it's a charger. I have a triple charger. I have, I want to get a generator. You know, all those things to where no matter what happens, I've got something to fix it.
You're prepared.
I'm prepared, baby.
Well, the good thing about the truck is that if we do break down, we don't have any problems with food and water. We can.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I want to find out where you live, because if the big one hits, I've always thought that, people probably start heading over to our place. They'll get a lot of brie and crackers and stuff because Tammy just has all that, you know. But and cheese, you know, and sparkling water. But you know, but I would have then look for Jamie and Marie and find that crepe truck. You know, but head over there. So, Jamie, tell us a little bit
about the business of running a food truck versus the business of running a brick and mortar restaurant. A lot of people are very curious. I'm certainly very curious about how you can compare the sort of the cash flow and you know, there's all the regulations and the site built brick and mortar is very expensive in terms of rental, or if you're buying the building, that's one thing, but renting is can be worse. We've had so many wonderful restaurants here in the South Bay that were there for 20 years, and then their building owners jacked up the rent like 2 and 3 times,
right?
Essentially forced them out on purpose. So tell
us
about
that. We spent all this time looking at brick and mortars, and one of the negatives of doing a brick and mortar in LA is that the rents are out of control. South Bay, we kind of crossed off South Bay right away because it's just It's prohibitive. You can't.
And mostly,
it's really hard to make money with that kind of rent. Go ahead, my love.
What I want to say is that when you're about to take a place, a brick and mortar, and you start to work on the lease, and you have like, I don't know, like 80 pages of lease coming, and you start to, before even signing, you start to spend maybe $6,000 with a lawyer just to read it and know what we're going to change. That's already so crazy. You didn't even start or even sign or even be agreed that you have to spend so much money just to understand what's going on in the lease.
So that's one of the big advantages of the truck is that you don't have to. I mean, our rent, we have a rent, which is our commissary, which is where all food trucks are parked in lots. We're in Hawthorne in a big lot with about 100 other food trucks.
Wow.
That has water and power and all the grease traps and everything you need. So that's our rent. It's about $1,000. After that, there's permits, there's business licenses, all that kind of stuff. And then the money, we're building towards a goal, which is to be able to, our goal isn't to go out every day on the street and hope people come. Our goal is to kind of establish our name and be able to, the money in a food truck today is doing private events and being booked to do a set amount of people with a set menu at somebody's house at a hall somewhere where there's that's already established. So that's kind of the business model where you can start to make some money is when you can start to.
Well,
to
you want to get to where people are calling you and you have to pick and choose where you want to go.
Exactly, like geez, Malibu again.
Yeah. Right.
So for the private party, we have two big. We have the people of Manhattan Beach, of course, because we know a lot of people, or people of South Bay, because the three kids, all our friends, or, you know, the school. And we also have the French family of Los Angeles, which is, because Mark, I'm going to tell you something, we joined the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, and we also joined the French Chamber of Commerce of Los Angeles.
Oh, really?
I didn't know there was a French Chamber of Commerce. Wow.
There is.
Yes.
Wow.
And
which
French
means
woman,
there must be an
Lucas.
Italian Chamber of Commerce and a German Chamber of Commerce. And, huh.
Well, actually, there's the Italian Cultural Institute, which kind of, I think it kind of does the same thing. You know, the Italian Society, you know, there's the building downtown, and I'm a part of that group. You know, it's like every Italian in Southern California knows each other because, you know, of that institution. So, but it's not a Chamber of Commerce. I didn't know about that. That's
well, they call, I think they call it the Chamber of Commerce. I don't know if it really.
It probably
it
is
functions,
for.
It functions as one. Yeah.
And it's probably a wonderful resource for people coming from France, trying to establish a foothold with a business here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right, or in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool. They do that.
Yeah.
Another word for it is the mafia, but I don't know if you guys want to use that. But
actually, you know something. There is a couple. This is really funny. Talk about connections. I met Bianca through the Italian group I belong to. Turns out she's married to a guy that went to high school with my husband, and her husband is the preeminent plastic surgeon. In Southern California. In
well, aren't
LA,
you
California,
lucky?
California. Well, no, but they advertised with me. But listen, she owns a business called Bridges to Italy, and what she does is she helps companies that want to come from Italy to America. You know, she shows them the ropes.
And the French Chamber of Commerce just. Introduce us to the director of a French movie festival that happens every year in April in Sunset Boulevard. And so now the French movie festival just gave us a spot in the parking lot for the whole French film festival, which is great, you know?
Well, Jamie, Marie, first of all, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you going to do our April 18th? Are you guys booked?
Jamie wanted to call you about that because I was not able to explain him everything. So
okay, all right, Jamie, give me a call because I gotta get that set up. And then what you? I'll make sure because this is something we bring food trucks to, is our street food cinema.
Yeah,
and that is July 14th
and
September 8th. July 14th.
Yeah, it's very.
That's Bastille Day, and we yeah.
You probably are booked solid for Bastille Day somewhere.
From the French Chamber of Commerce.
Holy cow! I can't believe I chose July 14th. What was I thinking?
I don't know. We're gonna see.
Well, crepes. Yeah, I guess we'll need to have a couple trucks on the road for that.
Yeah, I mean, just the French Chamber of Commerce will keep you busy that day.
Yeah, yeah.
So that brings another question. Are there, Marie and Jamie, are there more Black Flower crepe trucks in the works? Is the business model of food trucks transferable to the concept of having 2, 3, 4? Because, of course, you guys aren't there. You can't be in two places at once. Can you
right.
do that? Are there possibilities to do that?
Well, it's definitely been done by Koji Barbecue, by a lot of different trucks. It's for us. We got the truck on the road less than 2 weeks ago. So we're real newbies to this whole thing, and we're kind of figuring it out. We know how to run restaurants. And we have a real passion for that, and we're gonna a lot of what happens in the future with the truck is gonna have to do with how much fun we're having and if it's meeting the needs, because a big part of the restaurant business is kind of set, you know, it's, which is so different from a truck, is that you set up your place and it becomes a kind of a place where you entertain every night. That's you make your music and you have your wine list and you have, it's where people come and you know, so that, I don't know if that need for us, which is kind of why we're passionate about the business, is going to be met by a truck. We're going to see. Maybe the
Jamie,
idea of being able to travel to the wild. Yeah.
Jamie, did you just say wine? Did you just say wine?
Yes. But see, that's the thing on the truck. We're not allowed to sell alcohol.
Right.
So we miss out on that and it's okay, but it's not
right.
We have to see how it goes, and if I have a feeling like the idea of being able to travel and go to Coachella and go to the Wildflower Triathlon and that kind of stuff, it's so, I mean, the idea of that is just so cool. It's so fun. It's so such an adventure that it might fill that need. It might replace that need.
Right.
But
right.
I hope one day, I think today, if you asked me and I was on the spot to answer, I'd say the goal is to kind of turn Black Flower into a restaurant eventually. Mm-hmm. That would be the goal.
You know, it sounds like we're talking about building a business, but to me it sounds more like building a life. It's like a whole lifestyle thing, the way you've got it planned out, and I love it. I love that.
Yeah.
We always do that.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah,
as long as
we've always done
fun,
that.
Right?
And a restaurant,
everything is more.
A restaurant is much more flexible. You can develop, you can train sous chefs, you can train people to cook the way you want food to be
right.
cooked, and then you can actually have a night off if you own
yeah,
a restaurant.
Yeah, but to me. To me,
so,
a restaurant,
you know,
you're all in, though. You're all in.
Right, you're all in.
Nights off from the restaurant, from experience, are you know, you've just done. They're kind of. You're always going to get a. There's going to be something, but it's
you
just
know,
a,
you
that's
know something.
Business. We don't complain about
right.
that.
Right.
Joe, I've, you know, one of my favorite food trucks is the grilled cheese truck, and I've eaten at that everywhere from Napa to San Diego. You know, so I don't know if they're franchising them or if it's just one owner and he has a bunch of drugs. But that's that's a fairly easy thing. It's not unusual. There are several food trucks that have branched out, and it's not just, you know, one chef doing all of them. I mean,
well,
you know,
it's wrapping into.
Once you have your menu set and you show them how to do it right, you know, that's.
Yeah.
There is something, and maybe that's something that can be incorporated into Black Flower. There is something about grilled cheese, and you think of French cheeses and you think of French breads and all of that, croissants, you know, there's just something. Tammy, when she used to do Earth Day, and they'd say, Tammy, you know, and she would only do this if she could sell. And she found out that selling grilled cheese, and she calls them her adult grilled cheeses, unless a kid comes up and wants, you know, just grilled cheese on bread and all that. But, you know, with different types of cheese, two or three different kinds, maybe on a sandwich, a tomato, or maybe even some bacon or something like that, or prosciutto or whatever. And, I mean, you are nonstop busy. People just,
right.
There is something about...
That's
grilled
what
cheese.
It's comfort
crepes,
food. It's comfort
crepes are French grilled cheese.
They're
basically a cross between a grilled cheese, a quesadilla. You're making a fresh quesadilla with buckwheat flour right before your eyes, and then you're putting cheese and ham and eggs and whatnot into the crepe. So it's the same concept. People love.
There we go. You had me again. That's it.
Me too.
That's what I want right now.
Well, no, you know, I adore crepes. My favorite, though, is the simplest, the dessert with the butter and the sugar. I don't need anything else. It's just the, oh, okay.
My son, I took a soccer team to England, and before... And one of the guys was French, or he had French grandparents and lived near Paris, great town near Paris. So they went a couple of weeks earlier and spent a couple of weeks at his grandparents' place outside of Paris. And that's where he was turned on to crepes with Nutella. And when he came back, you know, that's all he wanted. Mom, crepes and with Nutella, you know. I mean, so I said, you know, there is other food, and I would tell him because that's really he was just crazy about that stuff. It's all about getting people to try it and sample, because I still think people, they assume that when they get a crepe that it's going to be filled with some sort of a jelly or you know, a lot of people anyway, maybe not around here, because a lot of people here have traveled, they've gone to Europe, they've been places, and they know what it is. But foodies know what it is, and we're a foodie town. But it's getting people to step up and try some things.
Well, listen, you know something, this hour has flown by, and as I said to Joe earlier, one of our favorite topics, food, and of course, specifically anything to do with cheese. But Joe, we even forgot to do our station break, but you gotta wrap this up and take us home.
Well, also, though, how do we get a hold of Black Flower?
Oh, yes, contact info, website address.
Yes, website, blacksourcrepes.com, Instagram, blacksourcrepes, and you put an S on crepes because we always eat more than one crepe, of course.
Right.
So
blacksourcrepes.com, blacksourcrepes.com.
And also, we're going to do
and
with...
Flour is spelled O-U-R, just because a lot of people figure that out.
Black Flower.
And also, we invite everybody on Wednesday... 18th of March from 4 to 5, we do the ribbon cutting with a nice help of a Chamber of Commerce of Manhattan Beach and at Toyota on Sepulveda Boulevard.
It's March 28th.
Yes.
Right?
From 4 to 5. I know a lot of people working, but these days you just stop working at 3 and you rush to have a free bite of our galette and we're going to celebrate. It's going to be the opening for the community, so for our friends and
galette.
and everybody.
Saracen.
Right. And Jackie, maybe put that in the South Bay by Jackie. It's going to be a ribbon cutting
is.
Black Power Crate, right,
it
at Manhattan
is.
Beach
it
Toyota on March 28th. And
I got your newsletter. I got your newsletter. It's already up.
Well, Marie, Jamie
oui.
Young, Marie Revelle, Jamie Young, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. It was fun.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And we'll see you on Wednesday.
And I've already got my order.
Are...
I already know what I'm ordering when Black Power shows up. So,
what I saw in Instagram was created in France, perfected in California.
Right.
Yes.
Love it. This is wonderful. And, of course, thank you, Mark, and thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure.
This is our show, ladies and gentlemen. It's wild and wonderful and exciting, and we feature some of the most unusual and best business ideas and best businesses in Southern California right here in the South Bay. Join us next time. We'll see you again soon. Bye-bye.